chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, and you'll find that on page 70. We're going to continue our series in Exodus. So if you could turn with me to page 70, and I'll read verse 1 to 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal." Then Moses said to the people, "Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites and Jebusites, the land he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, 'I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In days to come, when your son asks, 'What does this mean?' say to him, 'With a mighty hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you know how forgetful we are. Forgetful about what you're like. Forgetful about what you've done through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray, Father, that by your Spirit you would help me to speak in a way that encourages us all to remember what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would never forget, but live each day in the freedom he has brought to all who trust in him. Amen. Well, I don't know if you're forgetful. I'm finding that I'm increasingly forgetful. I don't know if you've had that experience of walking into a room and finding that you have completely forgotten what you went into that room to do. Perhaps it's just me then. We all have that experience, don't we? But in a spiritual sense, we are just as forgetful. It's been moving and right, hasn't it, this week to be gathering. We gathered in the village earlier on in the week to plant a tree, and it was moving and right to remember, not to forget, what it cost many people for our freedom. We often need reminding, and it's good to be encouraged to remember, lest we forget. And it's the same in the Christian life. We need reminding of our freedom. We so easily forget. And we've seen over the last few weeks, haven't we, how the Lord has set his people free from slavery in Egypt by the sacrifice of a lamb. That lamb took the judgment of God that the Israelites deserved so that they were set free. And today we're looking at how the Lord wants his people to remember their freedoms. And it's so important to the Israelites that God tells them to remember, even before it's happened. Just turn back a page to chapter 12, verse 14. This is before they're actually set free. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Before they even leave Egypt, the Lord is saying to them, look, remember, never forget this. This is so important. He wants them to remember the Lord's redemption. And that's really all we're considering this morning, to remember the Lord's redemption. But we might be saying, well, that was back then. That was the Israelites back there in Egypt. What about today? We're much better, aren't we, at remembering our freedom? Well, let's look at Jesus' understanding of the Passover and how eager he is for his people to remember their freedom. So keep a finger in Exodus, and let's just turn forward to the reading that Vili brought us from Luke chapter 22. We might think that we're not about to celebrate anything to do with the Passover this morning, but that wouldn't be true according to Jesus. When we celebrate Holy Communion, we are celebrating the fulfillment of the Passover meal. Have a look at chapter 22, verse 15, page 1058. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, he says to his disciples. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. He talks about this fulfillment of this Passover meal. What is the fulfillment of this Passover meal? Well, he teaches them, verse 19, do this in remembrance of me. Before he died, he said it was so important that they remembered what he'd achieved on the cross that he wanted them to remember his death. Verse 20, this cup is the new covenant, a new relationship between God and his people in not the blood of the Passover lamb, but the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. See, Jesus wanted his people to regularly remember his sacrifice for our freedom. He saw it was the fulfillment of the Passover. So as we go back and learn about the Passover, we learn how to remember as God's people his sacrifice for our freedom. So back to Exodus chapter 13. I hope that encourages us to learn what God is saying to us through this part of Exodus. And the passage that we have before us splits into two sections. It's an ABBA formation, not after the Swedish pop group. It's not quite so embarrassing now to admit that you like ABBA, is it? As it once was, certainly in the 80s when I was growing up, nobody would ever admit that they liked ABBA. I think it's slightly more acceptable to like ABBA. Anyway, we're not talking about ABBA, the pop group. We're thinking about a structure. A, B, B, A. Have a look at verses 1 and 2. They're about this sacrifice, the redemption of the firstborn. And Moses comes back to that in verse 11. So those are sort of the two A's that bracket the section, and then the two B's in the middle, the commemoration, verse 3, of being brought out of the land of slavery, and then today in the month of Abib, which is bracketed by the end of the section in verse 9 and 10, being brought out of Egypt and keeping this ordinance. So that gives you some idea of how this section works. So that's why in our first point, we're looking at verses 1 and 2 and 11 to 16, the sort of sandwich, the bread of the sandwich. Remember the Lord's redemption by living by and speaking of his sacrifice. That's how they were to live in the light of the Lord's redemption. Live by it and speak of it. And we will celebrate in our lives the fulfillment of this Passover celebration. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. What does this mean? What does consecration mean? Well, it's explained in verses 11 to 16. Have a look at verse 12. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. What does it mean to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb? Well, he goes on to explain, all the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. See what's going on here? The firstborn were to be given to the Lord. They belong to him by the same sacrifice by which they'd been rescued from Egypt, the death of a lamb. So imagine the scene. An Israelite family gives birth to their first baby boy, and all has gone well, and the happy news is sent round. It's a boy, 7 pounds, 12 ounces. Mother and baby doing well. The lamb has been slain. But why? Why were they to keep on killing a lamb? That this was to be when they'd got into the land, when they'd been rescued from Egypt. What's the significance? Well, the significance is that the judgment of God has still not been dealt with. Every firstborn born has to have a substitute, blood shed, so that God's judgment doesn't fall on that firstborn. And the firstborn is symbolic not only of the firstborn, but of the whole community. If we were to read back, we don't have time. The firstborn and the substitute sacrifice for the firstborn rescued the whole community. So how are they to remember? Well, barely a few months would go by before the next sacrifice of a lamb. Whenever there was a firstborn cow or a firstborn sheep or a firstborn donkey, a lamb would be slain. They'd have a visual reminder every few months that they needed to live and to continue to live by the sacrifice that set them free. And they were to tell the next generation, they were to talk to their children about this. Verse 14, in days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We're free. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. They were rescued into freedom by that sacrifice. They were kept in freedom by that sacrifice. And of course, we've seen, haven't we, how the sacrifice of the lamb points forward to the sacrifice of the firstborn son of God. The true firstborn who was taken out of Egypt. The firstborn who can set us as God's people free from sin and death and judgment if we trust in his sacrifice. So a question for each of us this morning. Have we trusted in the sacrifice today of the firstborn son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, what does this mean for us? Well, we're about to share in Holy Communion, and I need to dash, so I'm sorry I can't share with you. It's the fulfillment of Passover, according to Jesus. And we're not only remembering the sacrifice of Jesus once for all on the cross. Wonderful that is, as that is. We're renewing our commitment to live each day by his sacrifice. Remembering his sacrifice. So they weren't just to remember Jesus' death at Passover. They were to remember Jesus' death every day. How do we know that? Well, they were to have a sign on their hand and their forehead. What they were doing was like a constant reminder, a daily reminder, like my children come home with things written on their hands. Why do they come home with things written on their hands? Well, because they know that they need to remember it. And if they put it in their notebook, they might lose that. Or if they put it in their phone, they might forget that. They have it on their hands so that they will not forget. It's that kind of picture. They were to do this so that they would remember every day the sacrifice that brought them freedom. I don't know if you're looking forward to what gifts you might get at Christmas. I don't know what the most costly gift you might ever have had. It's the kind of gift that takes your breath away. It's the expense and the generosity to you might be like a watch. And you're grateful for the price paid. But you also want to enjoy it every day, don't you? I don't know, it might be a mobile phone, might be the latest computer, whatever it might be. You want to enjoy it every day. Well, as God's people, we're not only to celebrate and look back at the cost of our freedom, Jesus dying on the cross. We're to enjoy that freedom every day by remembering his sacrifice. It's why we're about to say at the end of our Holy Communion service, through him, that's Jesus, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Living by his sacrifice, living after the pattern of his sacrifice, enjoying the freedom that we have because of his sacrifice. As Romans 12 puts it, therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The only way that we can live the Christian life day by day is that joy and freedom that is brought for us by Jesus' sacrifice. And this is something we're to speak of to our children. We belong to him. We've been bought to be living sacrifices. Yes, we're to tell them about Holy Communion and, where possible, help them join us in our all-age communion services. Maybe encourage our children to think about being confirmed so that they, with us, can eat that meal which reminds us of the sacrifice that Jesus has paid for us, the cost. But can we see that remembering Jesus' death is more than just eating Holy Communion and drinking the wine? It's to be every day. Every day the sacrifice of Jesus defines our friendships, our use of time, our priorities. Every day the sacrifice of Jesus reminds us that we are free. We're forgiven, yes, but we're also looking forward to that redemption into heavenly glory. And we need to encourage our children in this, because the message they're hearing is not that they belong to God, but they belong to themselves and their entertainment. I don't know if it was one of the songs that my daughter was listening to the other day. I love myself. Have you come across that song at the moment? I love myself. I mean, how crass is that? Sorry for any young people here. But that's what they're being fed with. Day in, day out, day in, day out. We need to encourage them to know that they belong to Jesus. They are free in him. So remember the Lord's redemption by living by and speaking of his sacrifice every day. And then second point, and more briefly, remember the Lord's redemption by seeing and speaking of the day. Have a look at verse 3. So we're in the sort of the bit in the middle of the bread, the sandwich, the sort of bees in the middle of Abba, if that helps. Sorry if it's not very helpful. Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out. Or verse 4, today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. See, the Lord commands commemoration of the day of sacrifice. How? By what is not seen amongst his people. Verse 6. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. So imagine the scene. People are getting ready for the Passover sacrifice and celebration at the end of that week. But for a whole week, they're to get rid of anything with yeast in it. They're to eat only bread without yeast. And so you can imagine the family gathering. It's a week's holiday, but the cupboards, everything is taken out of the cupboards, and they make sure there's nothing in that cupboard with yeast in it. And there's the smell of different kinds of cooking. The lamb that's going to be sacrificed in a few days' time is running around the family. The supermarkets are stocked with unleavened bread, virtually nothing else. The whole community is gathering to remember their day of freedom, the sacrifice of that day. And even the food reminds them of it. The food they ate when they left in haste because they didn't have time to put the yeast in. I don't know how that works. I'm not very good at knowing how bread is made. We just get it from the supermarket, don't we? But even their food reminded them of that day of sacrifice. And they were to tell their children on that day, verse 8, tell your son, I do this. You know, Dad, why are you doing this? Why are we clearing everything out of the cupboards? Why are we going to all this trouble? Why is it such hard work? Well, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. It's a personal celebration, is it not? Dad would say, I do this because of what the Lord did for me. Can you say that, fathers here this morning? Can you tell your children of what the Lord has done for you through the death of Jesus? That's what remembering his sacrifice is all about. Not just sharing in the meal at the front of church, but telling your children what the Lord has done for you. We often need holiday to do that, don't we? Now, as I draw things to a close, we're not commanded to hold any holidays in the New Testament, any festivals. But they are great opportunities, are they not, to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. We've got a holiday and a festival coming up. I don't know what you feel about the work of preparation for Christmas. It would be easy to think of it either as not related to spiritual things. It's not really what Christmas is about. Or a potential distraction from spiritual things. I want to encourage us to celebrate it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. How might we do that? Well, we don't only eat bread here at the front of church, do we? We don't only drink wine here at the front of church. Isn't it wonderful, whenever we eat some bread, we don't have to have special bread or special wine, to remember the sacrifice that has set us free. I'm not suggesting we have Holy Communion services at home. That wouldn't be appropriate because Jesus wants all his gathered community to celebrate. But depends what's in our mind, doesn't it, really? See, small everyday things can make a big difference, particularly to children, as to how we remember the day when our freedom was bought. Wonderful, isn't it, with children, how little visual things can help them grow up remembering day in, day out that Jesus died for them, has set them free, and that they belong to him, to live a life for him. Here's just some practical ideas. A Jesse tree, I don't know if you've come across this, it's like a tree which you can hang each day of Advent, a little picture of something about the Christmas story or a Bible verse, and talk to your children about what Jesus has done for them. We've already thought about Advent calendars and Bible texts. Yes, the Advent calendars with Bible texts don't have as much chocolate in as the Mickey Mouse chocolate Advent calendar, but who would we rather them think about over Christmas, Mickey Mouse or Jesus Christ? I found it's quite helpful to make sure that the biblical Advent calendars always come with more chocolate, like several bars of chocolate more than the other. Otherwise, they think they're missing out. Of course they want the chocolate Advent calendar, but better to be thinking and reminding them of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice than Mickey Mouse. Family traditions that remind us of Jesus, singing in the home, sharing a Bible passage on Christmas Day, coming to church. You see, if the Christmas meal or presents mean there is no time for church, no time for prayer, no time for talking with our children about Jesus, it's likely we've forgotten something, isn't it? So easily done. See, we can use Christmas to remind ourselves and remember of the sacrifice of Jesus. It's not extra work. It often actually frees us up. It frees us from the tyranny of thinking that the Christmas meal has to be so perfect that we're so stressed by it and we just don't have a chance to stop and think about what we're really celebrating. Or it frees us from thinking that we'll just slob in a couch and let our spouse get the meal ready. No, we want to peel the spuds and do the carrots and get the meal ready with them so that later on during the day we have time as a family to sit down and praise the Lord Jesus with a song that we all know, that we all love singing, and read the scriptures and come to church and remember that we have been set free. We are being set free. That we will be set free from this veil of tears. That we need not forget his sacrifice, even when we're feasting and enjoying a festival. So can I commend that to you? Let's not forget. Let's do all we can to remember Jesus' sacrifice. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and praise you that we can remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only during Holy Communion, but every day. Thank you that fulfillment of the Passover sacrifice that the Lord Jesus encourages us would remember him every day, as often as we eat bread and drink wine. Amen.
Thank you, John.